We're going to be looking at Ephesians 5, 17 to 20, and Ted will read for us.
It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, thank you, Ted. Are you a thankful person? Now, we live in a world which has a lot of sin and trouble and discouragement in it, and many people are not thankful at all. They wake up in the morning complaining, and much of their life is spent complaining. They're not feeling too well, maybe, and they complain about their health. They go to work and they complain about the boss, and they complain about the hours, and they don't like the pay, and full of complaints and unhappiness. And we're going to talk about being thankful. And I can't say that I've always been thankful for everything in my life. There are some things you learn over a period of time. And I think thankfulness is one of those things that you can learn. Paul says, for example, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Now, he wasn't born being contented. But he says, I've learned over a period of time to be content, to be happy in whatever situation I am. Whether I'm in jail because of the gospel, whether I've been beaten, whether I've been shipwrecked, or whatever my circumstances are, Paul says, I have learned to be content. So if you are a Christian, hopefully as time is going by, you are learning. You're developing as a Christian. You're developing Christian character. And that doesn't come right at salvation. There are things we learn, we grow into. And I think thankfulness is one of those things that we have to kind of grow into. Now, thankfulness is a command. We're told, be thankful, over and over, and in the passage we've read, he says, giving thanks, always, for all things. And so, if you're a Christian, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that means you're putting your life under His control, under His sovereignty, and that means that you're willing to be obedient. And don't view these things as just suggestions. Sometimes people read the scripture that way and they say, well, that's a nice suggestion. I'm not going to do it. And, you know, I maybe fail and I don't really intend to change. It's just a suggestion. But as a Christian, we need to view the Word of God here as the Word of the living God. And we need to realize these things are not just suggestions that you can kind of mull over and decide, well, do I want to do that or not? And maybe it's an option. But these are commands that if you do them, if you obey, you're going to please the Lord, you're going to grow as a Christian, your life is going to be happier all the way around. And so this matter of being thankful then is a command. Now notice he doesn't say feel thankful. Many people kind of run their lives on their feelings in a lot of areas. A lot of people this morning, as they woke up, they lay in bed and they thought, do I want to get up or not? It's Sunday. Maybe I'll just sleep in. Maybe I'll get up at 11 or noon, but maybe in time to watch a football game, but I don't feel like going to church, so I'm going to stay home. I don't feel like reading the Bible. Too busy. I'm not going to read the Bible. I don't feel like praying, so I'm not going to pray. And if you run your life on your feelings, you're not going to make progress. And there are a lot of areas we don't run on feelings. Now, if you got a job, You're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and lie in bed a while, maybe an hour, and think, do I want to go to work? You know, I don't know if I feel like I want to go to work. I feel like I want to stay in bed today. We don't run life that way. We realize, you know, you got a job, the boss is going to expect you there. And you better be pretty sick if you stay away, because we need you there for the work to be done. And so there are certain areas of our life where we'll say, well, you know, I don't operate on feelings there. I operate on what I ought to do. And this should be true of our Christian life. That we just don't wait for a particular warm feeling that seems to nudge us in the direction of doing what the Scripture says to do. We ought to do what the Scripture says because we ought to do it. And because we know if we do it, it's for our good. He commanded us these things for our good always. I like that verse in Deuteronomy 6. So everything God has told us to do, it's for our good, he says, always. And if you let that get a hold of you, why then obedience, you know, won't be so difficult. You'll realize, well, really, even though I don't feel like doing it now, I know if God tells me to do it, it's for my good, so I'm going to do it. So when we think of thankfulness here, it's not something that we should just feel. He doesn't say, feel thankful. He doesn't say to husbands, feel like loving your wives. He just says, love your wife. Act in a loving way toward her. Act on principle. Don't just act on your feelings. And so when it comes to thankfulness, he says, be thankful. And this means you're going to act. And thankfulness is something we articulate. We speak words. Be thankful unto him. And if we're thankful to the Lord, now we begin to articulate these things for which we're thankful and praise him. We say words. And when, like we had our Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread meeting, and here different brothers are standing up and they're speaking words, praising the Lord, being thankful, expressing it. Now, an interesting thing, it is that if you do what's right, then the feelings are going to begin to follow. And if you start praising the Lord and you begin being thankful, then you're going to begin to feel good and you're going to really begin to be emotionally involved in it. And you'll not only be thankful, you'll be feeling thankful as the time goes on. So it is commanded. And when it's commanded, anytime God commands something, it's possible. God never tells us to do something that's impossible. He doesn't say to the Christian man, for example, love your wife. But you say, well, that's not possible. Well, it is possible. Whatever God tells you to do, it is possible. When he commands all men everywhere to repent, it means it's possible for people everywhere to repent, to turn away from their sin and to desire to live a different life. So whatever God tells us to do, it is possible. And we don't want to think that here in this area of being thankful, that is impossible. There are circumstances that I have, and God knows my circumstances, that excuse me from being thankful. Today, because of my circumstances, I'm justified in being unthankful. I can just gripe all day and be complaining and be miserable. That's my option. No, the Lord says, be thankful. And it's a matter now that it is possible for you, I take it, and for me, regardless of our circumstances, to be thankful. Now, this is kind of an amazing thing for the world. Because the world is full of people that are very unthankful, really. You talk to most people today and they're going to start complaining. They're going to be unhappy with the recession, unhappy that my work hours are cut, unhappy with the government, unhappy with this, some of the proposed legislation, taxes are going to go up, and they're just, generally speaking, focusing on these things which make them unhappy. The Christian is told, be thankful. Now, as we think of this, we realize that the situation comes up when you say, well, surely there are some situations where you should not, you can't be expected to be thankful. Job now is being tempted by the devil, being tested, and in one day, this man who was wealthy, he had flocks and herds, he was a wealthy man, big landowner and a wealthy man in his day, in one day, these calamities hit, all his flocks, his herds, everything is gone. So at the end of the day, he has no possessions to speak of. He's poverty stricken. Could Job be thankful in that? Well, in this situation, Job says, the Lord has given, the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it says, Job worshiped God. Job determined, I'm going to be thankful. Even though everything is gone materially, I'm a poor man. And this can happen to any of us. We live in uncertain days. And, you know, in Timothy, Paul exhorts Timothy to caution the rich people not to trust in the uncertainty of riches. The uncertainty of riches. Today they're saying, you know, you need to put any asset you have into gold because everything is uncertain. The stock market's uncertain. Bonds are uncertain. Everything is uncertain. And rich men can become poor very quickly. Lose everything. But here, Job refuses to blame God or to complain. He worships God. He's thankful. Now, as a Christian, when you go through financial loss, you know, you can cling to the fact that Jesus said, don't worry, be thankful, because the Lord loves you, He cares for you. If He cares for the birds, He cares for the flowers and so forth. He cares for you, and He's concerned for you. Therefore, He says, don't worry. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And so, in the midst of the loss of possessions, He says, you can be thankful, should be thankful. God is committed to you. God's going to take care of you. Don't worry. But through this, it'll be an experience where you get to know God in a better way. Now, something that's harder, of course, is illness itself. And you remember how the devil said, well, Job stood up pretty well under this. But the devil came to God and he says, look, you let me touch his body and he'll end up cursing you. He's going to turn against you. If I get him in a situation where he's hurting physically and terrible pain and discomfort, you're going to find he's going to turn against you. God said to him, okay, go ahead. You can test Job. God says, I believe he's a man of integrity and he trusts in me. And so Satan came and afflicted Job with this terrible disease where he has boils all over his body and terribly sick and terribly uncomfortable and in pain. And his wife is finally fed up and she says, curse God and die. If this is the kind of God you have, you don't need that kind of God. Just curse him and die. You know, it's been a bad trip, let's just finish it. And he said, "We are foolish." He says, "No, I'm not going to curse God." And he refused, even though he's in tremendous pain. And when you're in pain, you know, you're very focused on yourself. It's about all you can think about is, I'm hurting. I'm in pain. And of course, the medical profession does everything it can to ease pain. We don't read of any doctors trying to ease Job's pain. But through that, he refused to turn against the Lord. Now, as you come to the end of the story and Job finally is restored, you think, oh, was there anything Job could be thankful for? He's gone through this terrible experience of financial loss and all that. He's gone through this sickness he had. It's been a rough trip. What's there to be thankful for? And Job had said, you know, when he's tried me, I'll come forth as gold. And really, at the end, Job could say, you know, I'm a better man now than I was before. I know the Lord better. And I'm a stronger Christian because of what I've gone through. And so as we think of these things that happen in life, whatever it is, you can be thankful not for the thing itself, maybe, but for the what it will do in your life if you respond in the right way. Because we can't choose these things come in life. But we can choose how we respond. And you can respond negatively, and you can get angry, and you can curse God, and you can curse people around you, and you can be a miserable, unhappy person. Or you can rest in the love of God, and you can say, God, I'm not sure how this is going to work out, but I know you love me. I'm trusting you. I'm not going to turn against you. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to be thankful and begin to thank God. Now, when you lose a loved one, that's a tremendous loss, too. You know, we have close friends. And I sometimes think of close friends that I've known years past, and they've gone on, and I miss them. Sometimes I think of a man I used to preach with. I think, I'd like to hear his voice again. It'd be great to preach with him. He's gone. And the greatest loss, I suppose, a person can have is his spouse. You lose your wife. You've had a long, happy marriage. You lose your wife. You bury her. And it's an amputation. It's a tremendous loss. I have a friend in Oklahoma City, and he lost his wife, to whom he'd been married for many years. And when I went to see him, you know, he said to me, Don, he says, I've come to know the Lord in a way I didn't know him before. He said, the Lord has been nearer to me and dearer to me than ever before in my life. And he was thankful for that, see. So that even in all these losses, if it turns you to the Lord, if it draws you closer to Him, you're giving thanks always in all things. Some years ago, there was a lady we knew, a dear older Christian, who was in the hospital. She was really getting toward close to the end of her life. And she couldn't sleep this night. And so, when we went to see her, we were talking to her, and she said, you know, I couldn't sleep. And I thought, what can I do? And she wasn't going to count sheep. But she says, I decided to count all the Christian friends I have that have been such a blessing to me, and to be thankful for them. So here she is, middle of the night, and she's going over people. And she said, I think I got up to 83 and I went to sleep. Being thankful for all these people that God had brought into her life had been a blessing. And so here, as an older woman facing death, practicing thankfulness. So thankfulness is a choice. She could have lain awake there at night, just irritated, unhappy, why can't I sleep? But instead she focused on being thankful. So being thankful is a choice. I can choose today to be thankful or complain. I can wake up this morning and I can determine this is going to be a lousy day. And while the sun's shining now, but it'll probably snow before sun up or sundown. And had a negative attitude all through the day. Or I can choose to be thankful. So scripture says, giving thanks always for all things. This determination to be thankful. The chorus we sang, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Thankfulness then is a choice. But it's also there are things that will aid you, will help you to be thankful. And we're going to read Colossians 3 and read a couple of verses here that I think are very important in this whole area of the Christian life in general and in this area of thankfulness. Colossians 3 and read 15 and 16.
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Now, very good. Good verses, aren't they? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What he's saying there is, saturate yourself, your thinking and your life with the Word of God. And as you do that, that is going to make you thankful. Because the Word of God is going to be bringing before you the love of God, His faithfulness. It's going to be reminding you of all these promises of God. And as a Christian then too, you can memorize some of these promises and you can hang on to them. And you can say, this is the promise of God to me. I can be thankful. God has promised, Hebrews 13:5, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's a great promise. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you know, I tell young couples when they get married, you know, you need to affirm this to one another. I'm going to never leave you. Tell your spouse, I will never divorce you. Because too often in a marriage there's some problems and maybe one will be threatening the other and saying, well, you know, if you keep doing this or whatever, I'm going to divorce you. I'm out of here. Never do that if you're going to have a happy marriage. And as we think of God here, God is so committed to us. He says, I'll never leave you. The various circumstances of life, the difficulties of life, God says, I'm going to be there with you. I'm committed. I'm loyal. I will never, never leave you. And in fact, it's such a strong, emphatic statement. Never, never leave you. You can hang onto a verse like that in difficult times and say, this is God's promise to me. And so as you read the scriptures and you're just thinking about it and letting it become a part of you and you're thinking, here are these promises that you hang onto. The devil may come to you and say, oh, you know, how do you know you're saved? And maybe you're not saved and you go to the Word of God and you say, this is the promise of God. He that has the Son has life, and I have the Lord Jesus. And so you take the word of God into your heart. And this is Trima's aid in living for the Lord and just being thankful, because the word of God is going to remind you over and over of all the good things God has done for you and all the things he's promising you. And you'll allow that to just fill you with real joy and optimism. And the Psalms are full of things like this. There are some Psalms that are for the person is very discouraged and so forth, but usually they end up on a positive note, reminding themselves, well, God is with us, you know, let's not be discouraged. So the word of God is very, very important, and memorizing some of these scriptures and making them a part of your life. Now we're reading too about, or to exhort one another with spiritual hymns, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And so something that will encourage your heart, that will help you to be positive and be thankful, is some of these hymns that you sing and that you become a part of you. And you're reminded here of these wonderful truths. Like this morning we sang, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Savior." And we're reminding ourselves here of the faithfulness of God. And so as when you're maybe not feeling that thankful, if you sing some of these hymns, you'll begin to be thankful as you focus on all that God has done for you, all that he wants to do for you. And your spirits will rise to praise the Lord. And so these hymns, too, are a great aid in being thankful. The scripture says also in connection with that, exhorting one another. If you're with other Christians, this is going to help you be a thankful person. Because you may feel down. It may have been a bad week for you. But usually there are others there that are rejoicing in the Lord, that are positive and happy. And being together is going to help lift you up and encourage you and enable you to be thankful. And so meeting together, very important in the Christian life. You neglect being with the Christians and the devil's going to get with you. He's going to discourage you. He's going to get you to complaining and being an unhappy person. But meeting together regularly, that's why he says, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. And this is a command too. You shouldn't say, well, I'm just going to meeting because I feel like it. You meet with the Lord's people because you ought to. He's told you to do it. Whether you feel like it or not, when you don't feel like it, it's the very time you ought to be there. Because you'll sing some hymns, you'll hear the word, and it'll lift your spirits. And it'll cause your whole outlook to change. So we do what we ought to do because God says to it. Because it's for our good. And we don't just operate on our feelings. And so as we think of meeting together, that's very important. And this will encourage us to be thankful. Now, one of the things that I think is helpful is to realize faith plus the Word of God, the promises of God, is going to cause you to be optimistic. Faith plus God's promises, it causes you to be optimistic. Now, Abraham's an old man, and he has no children, and God has said to him, you're going to have a son, you're going to be the father of nations. And God promised him, you're going to be a father. And it says, Abraham was fully persuaded what he had promised he was able to perform. Romans 4. He was persuaded. He was confident. He says, I'm hanging under the promise of God. And I know I'm old. I know Sarah's old. I know, naturally speaking, we can't have children. But I know God. And this is his promise to me. And I'm hanging under that. I'm fully persuaded what he had promised he's able to perform. And so that's what we need to do as believers. You hang on to a promise of God. In faith, you say, Lord, I'm believing you. You do not lie. It says God, who cannot lie, has promised us eternal life. And as a Christian, I just hang on to this. God, your character is such that you tell the truth. And you've given me these promises. And because of that, I can be optimistic for the future. I can rejoice in the future. Because I know your promises are true. And so faith plus the promises of God is going to enable you to be rejoicing in the Lord. My mother was an invalid for many years. She died of tuberculosis finally at the age of 42. But when she became a Christian, she became an optimistic person. And her favorite verse was Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God. And she would say, well, I've come to love God, and I know everything's going to work together ultimately for good. And she knew what it was to have her husband leave her because of her faith. And she was left with one son, a widow, an invalid. But she clung to the promise of God. She said, I know everything's going to work out ultimately for my good. I don't see everything now, but I trust God. That's faith. And that will cause you to be optimistic and to praise the Lord and to be thankful. Now, as we think of this matter of being thankful, I want to read a few verses in Psalm 40 as we come to the close here. We'll read the first three verses of Psalm 40. A great psalm, and Ted will read for us.
I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord.
Very good. He speaks of the Lord's brought me up out of a horrible pit. Now, if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, you're in a horrible pit. You're lost. You're going to die, and when you die, you're going to be in hell forever. That's what the Bible says. Unless you turn to the Lord, unless you repent, unless you accept the Lord Jesus, you will be lost forever. That's a horrible pit. That's a terrible future. If you turn to the Lord, he's able to bring you up out of that pit of despair and give you hope and put a song in your mouth. And you can become someone who is thankful. Thankful that you're saved. You know, when people profess to be saved, I like to hear them pray. Because if they're really saved, for the first time they can really pray. And for the first time, you'll hear them expressing thanks to the Lord. And that's a good sign that you're really saved. You become thankful. And so it's exciting to hear someone who's just accepted the Lord, just thanking the Lord for salvation. Becoming a thankful person, thankful to God who's been so good to send the Lord Jesus to die for us, to bear our sin in order that we can be saved. So if you're not saved, you can't really be thankful. If you accept the Lord, then you've got reason to be thankful and rejoicing in the Lord. And if you've never accepted him, I hope you'll do that, that you'll turn to him. And you'll realize he's brought me up out of a horrible pit. He's given me a song. He's filled me with thankfulness I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I'm a child of God. I'm going to heaven. The worst thing that can happen to me is to die, and it's the best thing because it's the door of heaven. To be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. Are you thankful? If you're a Christian, you should be thankful. And we need to practice thankfulness. We need to work at it. We need to determine, I'm going to quit complaining so much. I'm going to begin to be thankful. Because the Lord is with me, and because God has saved me, and because the future is glorious, I'm going to be thankful. May the Lord help us be thankful people.